And now open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. Hold up your Bibles and we'll jump right into the word today. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I'm going to ask a couple of questions to get us started. When you hear the word change, do you have good feelings about the word? How many of you have positive response to the word change? Anybody? All right, now put your hand down. Now, how many of you, when you hear the word change, it brings about a negative response? A lot more of y'all than there are of us. There's those of us who live by faith and those of us, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Change. I think we've, I think as a people, as a culture, most of us, whether you like change or not, over the last couple of years, you got real used to it. How many of you, when you started the year 2020, were you thinking, hey, in a couple of months, we're going to shut the world down for about 8 weeks? I don't think any of us were thinking, hey, we're going to close our businesses, we're going to send kids home from school, we're going to rock the world as we know it. Was anybody prepared for that? Nobody was really prepared. I had my really good friend call me up. He had been in ministry at the time about 30 years and me about now 20. And he called me and he goes, well, Pastor Eddie, have you ever pastored through a pandemic? I went, can't say that I have. He said, me neither. And he had been pastoring for over 30 years at that point in his career. And neither of us had ever pastored through something like this. And so what do you do? Well, you know what you do? You wake up every day and you say, okay, Lord, how are we going to operate today? You know, and so we began as we did, and I know you guys did as well, we began to have a whole new idea of what was normal. Anybody in here just waiting for things to get back to normal? Be honest. All right, listen to me. Normal isn't coming back. Jesus is. Right? So whatever was your norm prior to 2020, throw that idea out the window because it ain't coming back. Not the way you knew it anyway. I'll need that later, but remember, I never forget this. All of a sudden, my son and my daughter were in seniors in high school. My daughter was homeschooled, and so her school was all online anyway. It's all they knew. So this was like not even a bump in the road for them. But every other school was like, what do we do now? And they said, well, send the kids home. And they sent the kids home. And I remember thinking, what a detriment this is going to be to our society in years to come, because you're going to send these kids home and they're not going to have school for maybe 6 months or more, right? What happened was they went home in March and they didn't go back to school till September. What happens to the human brain when it's not exercised or filled with information or stimulated? It turns to mush. Right? And so you put kids in front of video games going like this, can't leave the house, can't go outside, can't do anything normal. And so now I'm just stuck inside. And all of a sudden, all that knowledge is just kind of flooding. It's going away. And I'm just kind of having to come to a new normal. How about this one? All of a sudden in 2020, it was okay. They said, if we put masks on, we'll stop the spread of the virus. Now, whether you agree with that or not, I'm not here to debate that with you. And so you wear a mask if you want to wear a mask. But now it's even okay to wear a mask in a bank. Do you know that prior to 2020, if you wore a mask in a bank, they were pressing the button under the counter? Call 911. Get this guy's here to rob us. Now all of a sudden it's okay because we don't want to spread virus. Rather you rob me, but don't spread the virus. And then I remember Easter Sunday 2020. Remember that? We were quarantined. We were home. We were having online only services at that time. And I am being the man of faith and the eternal optimist. I go to Peggy and to our staff. I'm like, couple of weeks, this will all be over. Don't sweat it. We'll be back to normal anytime. Just it's going to go away. Fast as it came, it's going to go away. But was I wrong? And I don't like to admit when I'm wrong, but I was wrong. But I'll never forget, we were approaching that Easter Sunday 2020, and it was weeks ahead, and I went, there's no way that the government's going to stop us from having Easter in-person church services. It'd be a travesty. I was wrong again. We had Easter online only that year, but I want you to know, God still showed up in a powerful way. And our church, as a result of 2020, we learned a lot about ourselves and our resolve, and we actually grew through the process. And so it really is a testimony to the people of God. But I want you to know, I'll never forget this, May 17th, we reopened for in-person church services. And we reopened, people were eager to get back to church. And many of you were here that day, and I told staff that day, I said, listen to me, we're not closing these doors again. I said, you better have a backup plan if you get COVID. And it's happened to every one of us at different points in over the last couple of years. I got it the day before Thanksgiving 2020, and Carla had to step in and preach for me, and other people have gotten it, and other people had to step in and do their jobs as well. So we just kind of learned to roll with the punches. And so, normal isn't coming back, but Jesus says, listen, in light of what we've walked through these last couple of years, I've learned some valuable lessons in regards to how I approach life every single day. And I hope that that what I'm going to teach you today and next week will help you as life continues to deal in a changing, forever changing kind of way, all right? So in 2021, I sat down and the Lord began to speak to me about this message. And I started just putting notes together and tucking it away. And I just never felt like it was the right time to share it. And now here, the Lord said, now's the time. And I don't know why, but so now we're going to be sharing it. And this morning after first service, a young lady came up to us and said, I needed to hear this word today because I just took a job out of state. And I'm about to do something I've never done before. My life is about to change radically. So I needed to hear what you're saying today. So hopefully for you as well. But isn't it interesting and isn't it cool that the Bible, although written some 2,000 or so years ago, is as relevant to our lives today as the day it was written? And I love that about the Word. And there are some books of the Bible to me that are just more kind of in your face than other ones. And the book of James is a lot like that. I call it the in-your-face Bible book. And James is not afraid to step on your toes. He's not afraid to get all up in your business. And that's why I love James. And James talks about this very thing that we're talking about today in James chapter 4. So if you want to turn with me, go to James chapter 4, and we'll go down to verse 13. And this is what James says about living in a world where change is inevitable. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city, and we'll spend a year there, and we'll carry on business, and we'll make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. James is giving us a great reminder that the world we live in is subject to change and that we should live our lives accordingly instead of boasting and worrying about tomorrow. I want you to understand, change is inevitable. You either prepare for change or change runs you over as things continue to change. Today I want to teach you practically, as followers of Jesus, how to approach and live in a world that's forever changing. Next week, I'm going to get real spiritual on you, but today it's going to get real practical. How do we live in a world that's subject to change? Number one, on your handout, hold on to this life loosely. Look what he said in verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, we think we do, right? We have an idea of what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm not saying this to upset you or to stir emotion, but I want you to think about this. How many of you know somebody that was taken from this life far too soon? Yeah, we all do. We all do. And I want you to know, as we think about that idea, every one of us, for every one of us, tomorrow is not a promise. It's a hope, but it's not a promise. And we believe we'll be here based on the current state of things, but we're not promised anything. Now, I made this statement last week. As children of God, as followers of Jesus, we are now considered citizens of a place called heaven. Amen? So because we're citizens of heaven, the grip that the world has on us, it should have on us loosely, and we should have on it loosely. We have to live in the world, but the Bible tells us that we're not to be of the world. What a fine line that we have to maneuver and walk in. So I have to live here. I have to live here and operate and function here, but I'm not to be of it. As born-again Christians, we're no longer citizens of the world, but instead citizens of heaven, and therefore we should live with a kingdom mindset. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae in chapter 3, verse 1, "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Listen, in Colossians, the Apostle Paul's reminding the church of our new position. And in this new position should be a change of focus. Our focus should no longer be on the things of this world. I was relaying a story after church. Someone was telling me that they said, man, that someone had passed away in their family. They said, "Do you know how much money he left?" And the person said, "All of it." When the famous Popeye's Al Copeland chicken guru died, I never forget, I was on the interstate in New Orleans, and I was passing the cemetery where he was being buried. That happened to be passing that day. And that day, they had all his boats and monster trucks and all this stuff. Hot rod cars and exotic cars and all at the gravesite. And I thought, what a picture. Why did you bring it here? He ain't coming back to get it. You know, no offense. Listen, I Al Copeland did some great things in the business world, and a little chicken idea turned into a billion-dollar idea. But I'm telling you, as rich as you are and whatever it is in this life that you're holding on to, listen, you can't take it with you. Now, Jesus approached it as he prayed in John 17, as he's praying for the church, as he's praying for his followers. He said in John 17, 14, as he's praying to the Father, he said, "Father, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil." In other words, they're going to continue to live here, and while they're here, protect them, watch over them. But God, remember, they're no longer of the world any more than I was of the world. So Jesus is saying, hey, I lived in the world just like you're living in the world. And even though I lived here, even though I functioned here, even though I operate here every day, I'm not of the world. And listen to me, citizens of heaven, you're not of the world either. We have to live in it, but we're not to be of it. There should be something in our lives that looks different than most. Holding on loosely means that the trappings of this world, the lust of the eyes, the desires of the flesh must take a backseat to the things of God. At some point, the things of God must become more important than the things of this world, more important than financial success, more important than acquiring things, more important than status, more important than getting my name on the front of a magazine or a newspaper. We have to have something that's more important. And as followers of Jesus, it must be Jesus. The looser your grip gets on the world, the greater the grip of Jesus gets on you. You want to grow closer to Jesus? Loosen your grip of this world and let the grip of Jesus draw you in and become more dedicated, more of a follower. Number two, we have to choose the will of God every day. We have to choose the will of God. James said in 4:15, instead we ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. How many of you start your day with the words, God, today I want to live in your will? Yeah, none of us. We got agenda. I got a calendar. My calendar says I have to be here at this time, I have to be here at this time, I have to be there at that time, and I can't. Interruptions cannot be part of the equation. How many of you get upset when things interrupt your... I'm raising my hand because I'm one of them. When things interrupt my calendar, my schedule of events, Eddie's not very happy. Ask my wife, all of a sudden, I have things that come up during the week, an extra service or something going on, and it rocks my world because I have a day I study, I have a day I finish prep, I have things I do things a certain way at certain times. Yeah. And when things disrupt that, I got to go back to the drawing board, rethink the whole thing. You know what I'm talking about, Mallory. What if the moment we opened our eyes every day, we said, Jesus, I have an agenda today, but I'm open to interruption. I'm open to your voice, open to your leading. I'm open to whatever it is you have for me. Yes, I know there are things I have to do, but I'm open, God. I want to do it your way. Now, there's a great example of this found in the Old Testament to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, remember what happened was Joshua was Moses' right-hand man, and he had been following Moses for 40 years in the desert, and now all of a sudden Moses dies, and they're about to enter the promised land, and as they're getting ready to enter, and God gives Joshua this set of instructions. And look what he said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, as he's preparing Joshua to enter the promised land. He said, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Look what he said. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You see, God knew that Joshua would face many distractions along the way. Listen to me, church. We, as followers of Jesus, will face many distractions along the way. Trying to follow God, trying to live in his will, there will be many distractions. Here are some of the distractions that Joshua might have had. All of a sudden, he was the number two guy. He's thrust into this position of authority and power. He's literally the head dude over 2.5 million people. Could have went to his head. He'd be like, look at me. All of a sudden, now I'm a pretty important guy. They're all looking to me for the answers. He could have let his ego get inflated. Could have went to his head, but he didn't. He kept obeying, kept following. He didn't turn to the right or to the left. And if that wasn't enough, as he goes into the promised land and he begins to defeat city after city after city, 31 kingdoms in all, Joshua and his men went in and defeated. He could have said, besides the fact that I'm now the head of over all these people, now I'm a pretty important and powerful guy. We just defeated 31 kingdoms. We're some bad dudes. But that's not what happened. What happens is, at the end of Joshua's life, he tells the people, this is not even part of my notes, but I want you to know this is important. He said, but as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua 24, 15. We'll serve the Lord. In other words, I'm not serving anything else. I'm not serving the God of the people in whose land we live in. I'm not serving the gods of the people whose land we came out of. I'm serving the Lord, and that's the way it's going to be in my household. Amen. You know, you can't really grow and discover your purpose until you begin to you grow and discover it as you follow God and walk in the will of God. It's not until you get into the will of God that you begin to discover your real purpose in life. How many of you ever asked the question, what on earth am I here for? Anybody? We all have at one time or another in our lives. What is this life all about? What on earth am I here to do? And I want you to know, it won't be found most of the time in your profession. It's a good vehicle, but it won't be found in your profession. It'll be found in something greater. It'll be found in the will of God, and that's where the purpose of God begins to get revealed. And when Joshua began to walk in the will of God for his life as the head guy, as the leader of the people of Israel into the promised land, I want you to know he discovered his real purpose. His purpose was not to be the number two dude. His purpose was to be the number one guy because he would lead the people the right way. I want you to know your purpose is bigger than the things you think it is. Amen. Romans 12, 2 said, Paul said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is. What's his will? Good, pleasing, and perfect. You want to experience the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God? Walk in the will of God. Amen. We have to choose God's will over our choices. God's will and your choices will not look the same. Mine never did. I always had an idea of what I wanted to do. Didn't look anything like the things that God called me to do. So that even good things, right? We can begin to do some good things, and sometimes even though those good things, God says, I'm not in that. Yeah. I didn't call you to do that. Right. Yeah, it's good, and nothing wrong with that, but that's not my will for your life. Number three. We need to start boasting about what God has done in our lives. James 4:16 says, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. He said, all such boasting is evil. As children of God, our speech should be pointing people to the exploits of God in our lives. As we tell God's redemption story about the things that God has done in our lives, we cannot highlight the things we used to be, the things we used to do, but instead, let me tell you what God has done. How many of you men were here for Mallory's testimony last weekend? Wasn't it a great testimony? Now, what I loved about listening to Mallory's testimony was he told you a little bit about the things that he had been involved in, a little bit about the sin, but the story didn't get good until God hit the picture. And the moment God hit the picture is when the emotion started. The moment God hit the picture is when things started to change. I want you to understand. We can highlight self or we can highlight God. I want you to know, highlight self and you get whatever you can get. But if you highlight God, he'll make sure you get all that he has for you. Now we, at New Beginnings, we have learned over the last several years that we only highlight what God has done here. You hear us say all the time, look what God has done. So what has God done here? Well, God has taken us from six people in somebody's living room 12 years ago to near 400 people on a Sunday morning and hundreds watching us online and about to start a preschool. We're moving our offices out of here in a few weeks. I'm telling you, God is on the move. I want you to know, God is blessing our house. Why? I believe God's blessing this house because God gets the glory in this house. Yeah, we got the greatest worship team anywhere around. But I want you to know, none of them will tell you, look at us. They say, look at him. And I want you to know this isn't, I don't want you to come here because I'm a great preacher. I know that I am. But I want you to come here because all I talk about is how good God is. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a Jesus teacher. See, the day the world stops seeing sinners saved and people set free is the day God's glory on the earth is diminished. And we, the church, cannot be about diminishing the glory of God, but instead highlighting the glory of God. I want you to know God's still moving on the earth, and the people of God need to be the mouthpiece to tell the world that it's still happening. Yes. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." He said it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I want you to understand, Paul's saying, I'm dead. I'm dead. I walk in the will of God because I'm dead and he's alive in me. And the only life I have is the life with him. Everybody has a story, but the story doesn't get really good until God hits the picture. Continue to tell people, let me tell you what God has done. Boast about what God's done. Number four. Wait, did we skip something? I'm having so much fun, I just forgot. Let me back up. Hold on loosely. Choose the will. Boast about what God has done. Okay, we're on track. Number four, seek to do good. What if we, the church, every day just left our houses and said, you know what? Whatever the Holy Spirit prompts me to do today, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to ignore his voice. I'm not going to reject his voice. That's what we do most of the time. I'm in a hurry. I got stuff to do. I ain't got time for that right now. James said, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them. I don't want my relationship with Jesus to be marred by sin because of my refusal to listen to the voice of God in me. And think about this. What if we just did that? What if we just began to go around and do good? You know, we had that week of kindness week, right? Back in February, where we went around just doing kind acts for people for no reason. So we got phone calls and we got emails from people saying, hey, somebody at the Canes line paid for me. The car in front of me paid for me for my Canes. That's big, because Canes ain't cheap. And hopefully it was like one person in the car, right? Like, if it wasn't me, I went to the Starbucks line, and I don't know who was in the car because I couldn't see. The sun was shining in the back window, and I said, I want to pay for the car behind me. It'd be $15. I'm like, dang, what am I feeding? Like, we just did it, right? Because we want to do good. And I want you to know, I believe the world needs to see the church doing good because goodness is a reflection of the God we serve. Proverbs 11:27 says, whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it. I told you 2 points ago that we should seek to walk in the will of God. Let me tell you something. When you decide that you're going to do good, you're walking in the will of God because God's good. And when you decide, I'm going to be God's representation on the earth, you're doing what he's called you to do. You're doing the good that he's called you to do. And he says, it's God's will that you and I do good. And here it is, listen to me, even to people we don't like. Oh, it's easy to do it to the people we love. That's easy. I love them. It's easy to do it for people I'm friends with. I like them. But wait, you want me to bless people I don't like? Are you sure about that? He said in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, but whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So God wants us to do good to our church family, but church family, we're to take this out of the house to the world around us. And when God prompts you to do good to somebody, whether it's in a Starbucks line or Cane's Fried Chicken or wherever it is that you go, don't question it. Just do it. Well, what if I give money to this guy and he goes and buys out liquor with it or whatever? That ain't up to you. Did God tell you to give it? Yes. If God told you to give it and the Holy Spirit prompted you to do it, then just do it. What he or she does with it is between them and God. You did what God asked you to do, and that's what this is all about, right? Would you stand with me? So how do we live in a world that's subject to change? Hold on to this life loosely. Choose the will of God every day. Boast about what God has done and seek to do good. If you are ready to say, hey, you know what? I'm ready to live this life differently than I ever have. I'm ready to live it more committed. I'm ready to live it. I'm ready to hold on loosely to the world around me. I want to live in the will of God over my will. I want to boast about the things that God has already done in my life. And I want to seek to do good. If that's you, would you just come and join me here at the altar? And I want to pray for you. And we're gonna leave this place, and we're gonna leave this place different. Remember, as I say each and every Sunday, on either side, when I'm finished praying for you, if you need prayer for something specific, we'll have prayer people on either side to pray for you immediately after service. Let's raise our hands to heaven in a sign of surrender. God, here we are, holding on to this life loosely. God, we don't want to get caught up in the trappings of this world, but instead of the world that our hearts are set on, the world called heaven. And God, I pray that we'll become so heavenly minded that God, our focus will be correct and we'll have we'll fix our eyes on you, God, the author and perfecter of our faith. We're going to choose your will over our will, choosing your will over our choices every day. God, allowing our lives room for interruption, regardless of the schedule we have and the things that we know we want to do or have to do. God, we ask you to come and sometimes rock our world if we need it rocked. And God, we will boast about you. We will boast about the things that you are doing in our lives and the things that you've done in our lives and the things that you'll continue to do in our lives. This will never be about us, but it'll always be about you. And God, we want to seek to do good because goodness is who you are. Your word says that every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. And God, we know that you're a good father, and we want to be good representation of you on the earth around us. So, Lord, fill us with your Spirit so that as we go, we may represent you properly in this world we live in. We give you our praise, and we thank you for what you're doing here at New Beginnings and in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.